favorite part of that song is just one glimpse of Him in glory. Will the toils of life repay? Indeed. That is exactly the truth. Before we get into the lesson tonight, I just want to tell you thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. I truly take it as a privilege and a blessing on any occasion that I can stand before any group of people, but especially Christians, and to open up the Bible together and just talk for a few minutes about the Word of God and His will and His desire for us. And I truly hope that I can say something tonight from the Word of God, not because I said it, but because it comes from the Word of God. I hope I can say something, just anything, that will encourage any of us and all of us, hopefully, to want to do better, to want to serve better, to live better, and to be better for God. And that's my goal, plain and simple, tonight. I want to invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to focus on the very last verse of just a wonderful chapter where Paul has been talking about the superiority of the new covenant that we have through Christ and in Christ. And I want to look specifically at just the last verse. Look at verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." One of the beautiful things that that verse teaches us, a lesson that's so valuable to us to understand about the new covenant, is that that new covenant and the culminating reality of that covenant is, it is a transforming covenant. It is a covenant given to us by God with the intentions of changing us, of transforming us into something specific that He mentions, and into something so much better than we are or ever could imagine that we could become. That's what this covenant's about. And what Paul is telling us here is, as we look into this new covenant and as we look at the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, that we're able to look at that with no obstructions, completely unobstructed, to see the glory of God in the face of Christ as we gaze into this new covenant that God has given us. And it's not like when Moses, who had to put a veil over his face, this covenant that we have from God, we can look at it with no obstructions, nothing oblique. There's no darkness to it. There's no shadow to it. We can look at the gospel. We can look at the message of Jesus Christ, and it is clear, it is plain, and it is totally unobstructed. And we look at the beautiful face of our Lord, and we see the glory of God in His face and in what He's given us in the Scriptures. In that same opening of 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 4 and look at verse 6. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, and who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We can look and see the glory of God as we look into the face of Jesus Christ, and we can look at Him as we gaze into the Scriptures that God has given us. And what Paul has said here at this covenant, as we focus on the glory of God, as we give all of our attention to the glory of God seen in the face of Jesus Christ, God says, when you do that, something is happening. God says, when we do that, you and I are being transformed. We're being changed. We are a people who, as Gary Henry said in a marvelous article he wrote, we are a people who are in the process of becoming. And that's true of all of us who are Christians. We have entered into that process when we became a Christian, as Larry talked about some this morning, and we began that process of becoming and becoming something so much more beautiful and something so great and precious. And what we're reaching for and what we're becoming is that eternal purpose of God. And do you know what that eternal purpose of God is? in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, God's purpose for all of us, God's desire for every one of us, is that you and I be conformed into the image of His Son. He says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. This covenant is a covenant that is to transform and change us to become like Jesus Christ and to conform us into His image and to be like Him. Paul goes on to say that this is happening from glory to glory. Now, there are at least two possibilities I see what he means by that. There's certainly the idea of beginning in glory and ending in glory. And I see that. But I think there's also another idea in this idea of glory to glory. And it's seen as kind of like a process where you and I are, as I said, we're in the process of becoming. And we're in the process of moving from one piece or one level of glory to the next level of glory. And so as you and I, as we gaze into the perfect law of liberty, and we allow that beautiful scriptures of God to change my life and to transform me, then I'm beginning and continuing that process of reaching greater levels of glory and reaching more and more of what God desires for me and for you. And that is that we become like His Son. That we be conformed into His image. That's what God wants. But you know what I'm afraid of so often, and I've been guilty of this as much as anybody sitting in this room. And that is when you and I come to the Scripture, so often we come to it to study it, to outline it, to preach it, or to teach it, instead of coming to the Word of God to let it change us. And to truly let the gospel of Jesus Christ transform your life. That's what God wants from us. That's what God desires. That we be changed and transformed to become like His Son. Now, if it's God's purpose and desire for you and I to become like His Son, then it then becomes incumbent upon me that I want to be just the way He was. I want to live the way Jesus lived. I want to do what Jesus wanted to do. And I want to tell you tonight, in all the things of the life of Christ that we could talk about, there is one thing that I know that Jesus Christ came to this earth to do that He wants you and I to do just as well. Jesus Christ, when He came here, He came to glorify and honor the Father. Everything He did to glorify God and to glorify His Father. In John chapter 8, if you want to turn over there, look at verse 50. In John the 8th chapter, look at what Jesus says in verse 50. John 8 and verse 50. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. I do not seek my own glory. In everything that Jesus did, increasingly, more and more in His life, He devoted Himself singularly to the task of glorifying and honoring the Father. In everything that He said, in everything that He did, He showed that by His obedience, His humility, doing the Father's will. I came not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. Everything Jesus did was about glorifying God. And I want to suggest to you tonight that that's exactly what should be true of every one of us here. That that's our goal. That we simply and plainly should be a people who are about glorifying God and living a life that glorifies Him. That's what God wants. If I'm going to be conformed, if you're going to be conformed to the image of His Son, and we're going to be like Him, I know that Jesus came to glorify the Father. And so how can I in any other wise be directed in my life but just the way He was? And that's trying to live a life that glorifies God. But now, that poses a question. How do you do that? If you truly want to live a life that glorifies God, what do I got to do specifically? What I mean, down to the fundamental, what are some things I need to do in my life individually as a Christian every day so that I can make sure that I'm fulfilling that purpose, that I'm living a life that glorifies? What can I do just every day? What do I need to do to make that happen? Well, I just want to give you the first step. Now, I'm talking to those who are Christians. So the first step, I'm going to be focusing on those you've seen, you're children of God. And at the end, we'll talk about those who aren't before we finish. But tonight for us, what's the first thing that I need to do and you need to do if I'm really going to live a life that glorifies God? You don't have to raise your hands. Are there any golfers here that like to play golf? Anybody care at all about golf? If you do, I suspect that many of you, some of you, bound to play. I've seen clubs. And even if you don't really care for golf and you'd rather watch grass grow than watch golf, I understand that. But I suspect on some level all of you have seen golf played sometime in your life. I had a favorite golfer that had never won a major tournament. I liked him. And he was up to finally win his first. And it was one of those events where he was on the last hole the last day. And he needed to make the putt on the 18th putt. If he made it on the 18th hole, he won, pretty much. And so he arrives, it's time to putt. And I've always been impressed that you could get that many people to be quiet, so quiet that you could hear a pin drop. But that's how quiet it was. And it interested me to watch him because I got to watch. It was between services on a Sunday. I got to see it. And he comes up to the hole, and he stands behind his ball for a minute or so. And he's looking at it. He kneels down. You've seen him hold the club up and line their shot. And then I watched him, and he would walk, and he walked beside where his ball was. And you could see him looking at his ball to the hole, and he was looking at everything in between. And then he walked all the way back around the other side and did the same thing on the opposite side of the ball. And then in time, he worked his way on the complete opposite end of the hole from where his ball was. And he got down again, and he watched that. He looked at his ball, and you could tell what he was doing. He was lining up that shot. And then as he came back around, he kind of gets by his ball, and he's looking. And you can imagine any obstructions, any little thing, a twig that could be moved. And then when he was finished, he stood up behind the ball. And with a laser focus, all of his attention, all of his focus, everything was on that ball going in that hole. And it was as quiet as a mouse moving. You couldn't hear a thing. And he finally lines up behind it. And he looks back and forth, until he pulls the trigger. And boom, he hit the ball. On that day, he rung it. Beloved, I want to suggest to you that what he did is exactly what we have to do in spiritual realms and in our life today. You have to aim for it. You will not hit the target if you do not aim for it. You are not going to go in the direction you want to go unless you move in that direction. So what I'm saying, if I'm going to live a life, and if you're going to live a life that glorifies God, then you're going to have to aim your life to that purpose. That you're going to have to make that the focal point and the most important thing in your life. That you're going to live a life that glorifies God. And every day you aim to that purpose. Above anything and everything else. And you do it every day. In your supplemental book, I think it's Psalm 149. The first verse goes, "In my life, Lord, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified." Do you know the last word? Today. Be glorified today. What I want us to try to understand tonight, I'm not talking about just some overarching theme of your life. It is a good one, and that's part of it. I'm not just talking about, yes, I want to live a life that glorifies God and go to heaven. I'm wanting us to get it down to the very fundamentals of every decision, every choice, everything we do every day. Doing it with a resolve. I'm going to glorify God. And I'm going to live a life that brings glory to God. I read there in John chapter 8 and verse 50 about our Lord. He said, I didn't come to be glorified, to glorify Himself. He came to glorify the Father. He didn't come to fulfill or to accomplish His own agenda. Jesus came simply and plainly to exalt, to honor, to glorify, and to lift up His Father. And everything He did, that's what He did. And if lifting God up meant He had to humble Himself, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. If placing God, if putting God up here in that place of worship meant Jesus putting Himself in a place of cursing, that's what Jesus did. Whatever it took, wherever it put Him, His simple goal in life and His desire and His purpose was to glorify God. This morning, turn over to Titus chapter 2 again. Larry had this as one of his verses on the overhead. And this verse hasn't caught my attention like it should, just to be honest with you. And during Larry's lesson, when I saw that verse, I'll admit, I stopped for just a moment while Larry kept going. I apologize, but I got back to Larry within just a couple of seconds. I did do that. But it did cause me to pause for a minute and really reflect on what that verse said. Look at verse 10. Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the teaching of God our Savior. Those last three words is what really caught my attention. In all things. And all I could think about was just the idea of adorning, putting something on. And there's Paul saying just that we're to clothe ourselves, to put on the teaching of God in everything. And if you're reading out of the English Standard Version, I think it says, in everything, adorn ourselves in the teaching of God. That's what we're to be about. Now, I want you to turn to another passage of Scripture where Paul says almost the same thing, but just a little bit differently. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 31. Paul said, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, let me tell you what Paul's not saying first. He's not saying necessarily that the more that you eat and the more that you drink, you're going to glorify God. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is this idea of glorifying God has to become a life focus for you and I. Even down to the most simple, fundamental, mundane part of our lives, like eating and drinking. No matter what we do, all that we do to glorify God. When you read those verses and you read him saying that, eating and drinking, it is odd at first. Because I could certainly see God saying in your speech and how you talk to people, what you say about others, how you speak of others, make sure that when you do that, in your speech, God is glorified. I can see that. That makes sense to me. How I talk about you to others, or how I talk to you ought to be in such a way that God's glorified in everything that I say. And so that if I go and I say something about Jared and he's not there, I want to make sure that those words are seasoned with grace and salt. And that when I speak about him, I'm going to make sure that I can do it in such a way that it honors and glorifies God and how I'm speaking about one of his own that he died for. I could see God saying, glorify him when you go out and when you teach others. We don't go and preach ourselves or this church. We go and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and ourselves as nothing. To God be all the glory, to us nothing. I can see that. I can see Him saying, when we're here in this worship and this time during this period, that we do it in such a way that God's glorified, that we exercise that reverence that Larry spoke about this morning in the Bible class here when we come. And when we do that, not just here but outside of here, when we act that way, we're glorifying God the way He wants us to. I can see that. But what's confusing to me a little bit is He says, even when you eat or drink, do all the glory of God. Two of the most simplest, mundane things we can do in life. But beloved, I think that's the point. I think that's what God is telling us. Even down to the most base, fundamental aspect of life, of simply fulfilling a need to eat and drink, we do it to glorify God. And we make that goal our goal. We make that our decision. We want to live in such a way that we glorify God in everything. What we have to do, all of us, have to do this. And it will help us. It will help us not to have to live with regrets, with pain, with shame, with hardships, with sadness, and things that we experience in our lives when we don't take that stand for the Lord and resolve, I'm going to glorify Him. What we have to do is in all of our lives, every day, make that determination. Make that resolve. Write it on your hand. Stick it in a note on your car. Put it on your television. Write it on your books. Put it on your iPhones, your iPads. Put it everywhere. Put it in front of you. Write it in a note and stick it in your pocket. Whatever it takes to remind you every day and in every moment, I want to live a life that glorifies my God. And in the back of my mind, or really should be right in the front of my face, everything I do, everything I say, I want to make sure that it's in such a way that God's glorified. If I'm about to say something, I need to stop and think, is this going to glorify my Father? If I'm about to put something before my eyes, I need to ask myself, is my God going to be honored by what I'm placing before my eyes in this next moment? If I'm about to go somewhere, I need to ask myself, in going here and going and being where I'm about to go, is God going to be exalted and honored and glorified or not? Those are hard questions. Those are things we have to do. And we have to take the time to stop and to really think about our decisions and our choices. And in every one of them, ask that question. Will God be glorified by this decision? And understand that there is not one that doesn't come into play. That everything that we do, every choice, every decision, everything in our life has within it the ability and the capacity to honor and to glorify God. Even as simple as eating and drinking. That's what God wants from me and you. That's being like Jesus Christ. That's letting God's Word conform us. That's what's going to help us overcome in those moments if we'll just stop and ask that question. Is this going to honor my God and glorify Him? And beloved, if the answer is no, then don't do it. Don't say it. Don't watch it. Don't go there. Don't behave that way. Behave like a Christian that wants to glorify God. And you don't have to live with the regrets and the disappointments and the hurts. But you can live with that confident assurance that God is there. He's given you that way out, and we need to take it. And part of the way that He can help us and we can help ourselves is just asking those questions. Will God be glorified in this decision? What we're saying is, I have to prefer the glory of God above everything else. And I have to be willing to see and to believe that the glorifying God and His glory has to transcend everything else in my life. Every other desire, every other relationship, every other goal, every other ambition, everything in my life is subservient to that one desire, that one goal, that one dream, that daily determination that in everything I do, I'm going to bring honor and glory to God. That's the way that we have to live if we're going to get through in this world. Because Satan is constantly at us. And he is constantly trying to pull us away as he seeks, walks around like a lion, seeking those he can devour. He's looking for us. We have to arm ourselves with the Word of God and with this resolve that I am going to live a life that brings honor and glory to God. And that's my purpose, and that's my resolve, and that is my aim. You will never hit the target if you don't aim at it. So if you're going to live a life that glorifies God, then you have to purposefully, every day, determine that I'm going to aim my life at that goal. And I'm never going to stop doing it until the Lord comes again. Whatever the consequences, whatever the cost, you may aim your life at glorifying God, and it may cost you some dream that you have. You may aim your life at glorifying God. It may cost you a relationship or a friendship that you have. You may aim your life at glorifying God. It may cost you some of your ambitions, some of your possessions. It may cost you a lot. But whatever the cost, it's worth it. Whatever you have to sever, whatever you have to give up, it's worth it. It's painful. It's painful. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. Your hand, cut it off. Your leg, cut it off. He's not saying to literally do that. But I'll tell you this, and I bet some of you already know this, that some of the things that we have to cut out of our lives so that we can glorify God by our life is so much more painful than simply cutting my hand off. That would be easy. But some of the things that we have to pull out of our lives and sever from our life, things in and of themselves may not be bad, but become an obstacle between me and my target and my goal. And I've got to cut those out. It's going to hurt. But whatever you sacrifice, whatever you suffer, it doesn't compare to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans 8, verse 18. That was another verse Larry used this morning. The suffering that we've had, it does not compare to the glory that shall be revealed in us. My prayer, my hope, is that you will take that resolve tonight and you'll take it seriously in every decision, in every choice. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. If you don't aim your life to that every day, beloved, listen to me, you will not hit the target. If you don't aim every day with that resolve, you will not be what you ought to be every day. Can you imagine something so important to a professional golfer like that last putt? Can you imagine him walking up there with no concern, no regard whatsoever for what's in front of him, to just pick his putter up, walk up and stand behind it, and then just hit it and walk away and put it back in his bag with no worry about where it's going? You would look at that as foolishness. How much more foolish is it for us to fail daily to aim our life to glorify God in our speech, in our behavior, in our actions, in our choices, in our decisions, what we wear, what we watch, what we listen to, everything submitted to that one goal in my life, to glorify God. You can do that. And God said so. So let the Word of God work in your life to conform and to transform you into the image of His Son. Become what God wants you to become. And pick up the resolve that Jesus Christ had to glorify the Father. And you do the same thing every day, so that we can look more and more like Jesus as we conform our lives to His Word and to His will in the Scriptures. Take your psalm books out and turn to the number that's been selected if you want to. I am resolved. I hope that tonight you will be resolved to do this, to take up the challenge, to really put your life in the hand of God and to live it to His glory. If you're not a Christian, then you can do this, but it starts with becoming a child of God. I don't know this audience. I don't know who is or is not. But there's big enough of a group here to tell me somebody's not. If you were here this morning, you heard Larry talk about God's will and God's desire. You glorify Him by doing His will and keeping His commandments and walking in His ways and walking with Him. So to do that, I do what Jesus said. Jesus says, he that believes, is baptized, is saved. Larry said it, 1 + 1 = 2. That's exactly right. And if you're here tonight and you want to be saved and you want to have your sins washed away, just one person, one life, your sins could fill the walls of this building, top, bottom, and all the way around. Just one life. And if that's you, believe me, the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to wipe the walls completely clean and to wash the sin away from your life. But you have to be willing to submit your will to His and then come and follow Him. If you want to do that tonight, please come while we stand and sing.